The Sunday after Christmas. Madonna, you just about knocked over the poinsettia.
Didn't mean to.
Well, I thought you meant to. No, you didn't. Aren't they pretty? The beautiful flowers and all. Everything will be coming down. I know at our house, Anna started taking down the decorations, and by last night, they were all down. So, until next year. I keep trying to tell her we just need to leave the tree up and decorated till next year. Leave it sitting right there. It wouldn't bother me any. But you women won't usually do that, but for some of us, it would make sense to just leave it there, and then next year, it would be there already decorated. This morning, I want us to look in Matthew chapter 2 at the story of the wise men. We have we've talked about the birth of Jesus for the last two or three Sundays, and now on this particular Sunday, we're going to talk about the wise men. Several years ago, Ann and I took a trip with another couple from Texarkana. We went to overseas to Europe. It was called a 10-day sampler trip. It was a lot of fun. I wish we'd have had 20 days or more than that. It's amazing what you can see in 10 days if you're on with a tour group, and we were. But one day we went to Cologne, Germany. There was this vast, big cathedral. Never seen anything that big. When they built that cathedral, they built it to be the largest cathedral in the world. Now, you can look all this up. You can Google it, and you can see all the information about that cathedral and when it was built and how it was somewhat ruined in World War II. But that was quite an experience of going into that vast cathedral. Man, it was something. And we were walking down one hallway, and over there, there was this big display, a big gold box. No telling how much it cost. But they told us that was the place where the remains of the three wise men are. I didn't have any idea where they were. Years and years and years ago, they apparently felt they discovered some remains of the wise men. They're called Magi, the wise men. And so there, and you can look that up. I thought that was real interesting too, to see it, that beautiful big golden structure box that contains the remains of the three wise men. All the way from Babylon down to Jerusalem and ended up finally in Germany. Isn't that something else? Whether or not all that's really true, we don't really know all of that. But it's an interesting story, and it's one of the sites that visitors always want to see, and see that really the shrine of the Magi in the great cathedral in Cologne. We were there that day and getting hungry, and I was not finding much to eat. And we just kept saying, I wonder where we can find something to eat. And we looked across the street, and there was a what? Guess. McDonald's. We went over to McDonald's, and I knew just what to get. Got me a Big Mac and French fries. Anyway, right there in that place, McDonald's. Let's look in Matthew chapter 2, the story from the Bible about the wise men. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they were saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. So he gathered together the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, and he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And the wise men said unto him, the chief priests and the scribes said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and here's what is written by the prophet Micah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he privately, secretly called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again so that I may come and worship him also. That lying sucker. When they had heard that's not in the Bible, that's just my commentary. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures, their gifts, and they presented unto him the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not go back and tell Herod, I told you, he's a bad guy, he didn't mean it. They should not go and tell Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's look at these verses, and it's a wonderful story, and sometimes we hear it so often we don't really take time to think about it as it's written here. We love to sing that song, we three kings of Orient are. We usually sing that at Christmas. You'll notice in verse 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the word Bethlehem literally means house of bread, and I think I've explained that just the last week or two about the meaning of that name, the house of bread, Bethlehem. Bethlehem always associated with David, the king of Israel. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That says it was in the days of Herod the king. There were several different Herods that were rulers in that part of the country in those days. This was Herod the Great. He was a real smart, innovative person. As a matter of fact, he had the temple in Jerusalem restored so that the great temple was called Herod's Temple. He restored all of that. Something amazing that he did. But he was wicked, he was mean, he was cruel. I told you that Caesar had said about Herod one time, it's better to be Herod's pig than to be his son. He had his favorite wife. He had a bunch of wives, but he had his favorite wife killed. Can you believe that? If he's going to kill a wife, looked like it'd been the worst one. But he had the best, his favorite wife, killed. And he also killed sons. And when Herod died, he was afraid that no one would cry because he had died. Some of y'all may know this story. It's historical fact. It says that Herod, he sent word that whenever he died, all the leaders of the area there, the other people, would be put to death at the same time that he died, because he said, if they won't cry for me, they'll cry for these other people, and I want somebody to cry when I die. Now that's the kind of person that Herod really was. And when we think of Herod, Griffin, he sounds like a mean guy, doesn't he? He surely does to me too. A wicked ruler who was so very mean and cruel. So it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, we don't really know who these wise men were. Another word for them is the Magi. They came from the east. Most of us think they probably came from Babylon, Media, Persia, from the Persian Empire, somewhere there. When we think of Babylon, what country do we think of today when we think of Babylon? Where'd we have that war over there? In Iraq, Babylon, Saddam Hussein, Babylon, all of that sort of a thing. Well, it may well be that these wise men, they came from Babylon. And we don't know too much about them. It says that they were kings, although it seems like they more or less instructed kings, and kings came to these wise men. We find a reference to these wise men over in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we see that Nebuchadnezzar called wise men to himself to discuss his dream and so forth. They were wise men from the east that were coming to Jerusalem. Now these wise men, where did they learn, reckon, about the Messiah and the King of the Jews? Wonder where they came to know that. I mean, they were in Babylon. It was about 500 miles from Jerusalem, a long, long way if you go to that part of the world. Well, you remember probably that Nebuchadnezzar, when he came and conquered Jerusalem, and there were three different times when he took people away from Israel, from Jerusalem, and took them into captivity to Babylon. You have Daniel in Babylon, a true man of God and prophet of God. And it may very well be that these wise men in Babylon came in contact with these Jewish exiles, those who were captive in Babylon. How long were they in Babylon? How many years? Bible test. 400 years? Okay. We think of the 70-year captivity of in Babylon, but certainly it was for between the time of Malachi and Matthew, but they were over there in Babylon. So as far as we can figure, and you can go back and study this on your own, they probably learned about the Messiah, the one who would become king of the Jews. They probably learned even about the star and the light from the prophecies that these Jewish people knew as they taught them about the coming king of the Jews down in Jerusalem. That's one idea, and there are many other ideas. They came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews. So you see, the wise men, they knew who they were looking for. He was one who would be King of the Jews. Now, Herod was known in his day, that mean rascal Herod, he was also called King of the Jews. And this makes this even more interesting. He was called in his day, here comes Herod, King of the Jews. Well, here the wise men come and they say, we're looking for someone who is King of the Jews. And you can imagine how Herod must have felt. He was jealous of his position. He didn't want a rival. He didn't want someone coming and taking his place. And so when he heard that, he was troubled. And as a matter of fact, it says in this scripture right here that we read in verse 3, all Jerusalem was troubled with him. In our household, in our community, they always say, if mama ain't happy, there ain't nobody happy. If mama's happy, everybody's happy. Well, here it was. Herod was troubled. He was upset over that. And all the city was upset because the king was upset. Kind of like in America, isn't it? When the president's upset, others are upset as well. So he was very disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him disturbed. So in verse 4, he gathers all the chief priests and the scribes together. They're the wise people that he knows. And he says, where will the Christ, another word for Christ, this is the Messiah, the anointed one. He said, where will this Messiah, this Christ, this King of the Jews, be born? Well, the chief priests and the scribes, guess what? They knew the answer. And they said unto him, well, it's written in the prophet, and it's over in the 5th chapter of the book of Micah. They said to him, in the prophet it says, Bethlehem of Judea, it is written by the prophet. And he quotes, they even quote the scripture, Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah. Out of you shall come a governor, a shepherd that shall rule over my people, Israel. So you see, the chief priests and the scribes, they knew the scripture. One thing about the chief priests and the scribes, they knew the Bible, but they didn't do anything about it. They heard, they knew, they could even tell Herod about the prophecy that was made. They told him and didn't do anything else. That's all they did. They didn't worship him. They didn't go try to find this King of the Jews. They didn't try to find Jesus, the Savior of the world. They just said, we know the scriptures. We know the prophecy. They were religious people, the scholars, these chief priests and scribes, but they didn't do anything when it came to actually worshiping God. So Herod called privately the wise men. Now, we don't know how many wise men there were. If I were to give an exam today, you would probably say, Brother Dave, there were 3 wise men. We don't know that. All the Christmas cards and the movies and all that we've seen and the stories we've read, 3 wise men. We get the idea there were 3 wise men because there were 3 gifts. But there may have been 10 wise men. There may have been 50 wise men. And most people today think, probably there was a whole entourage of people, wise men, who came from the east to Jerusalem, and that probably Herod would not really have been that scared and worried if it had been just 3 guys on 3 camels. There may have been a large group of people who came. I don't know. We cannot prove it one way or the other. But we suspect there were more than even 3. I guess it really doesn't make any difference, does it? whether there was three or whether there were more. But he called the wise men together, and he inquired about the time that the star had appeared. We don't even know about the star. Did y'all go out and see the Christmas star the other night? I did. That was a thrilling thing. We could see it pretty clear. It was a clear night. You look back in the southwest, and you saw the star. They called it the Bethlehem Star. Now, it probably didn't have anything to do with this star. We know that this star must have been a miraculous star. There are hundreds and hundreds of ideas and theories about what that star was. Was it a planet? Was it a comet? All these books have been written about it. Studies for the last 2,000 years been trying to figure out what that star really was. All that I know and you know is it was a miraculous sign that God sent to these wise men. It was a miraculous star. Whatever it was sufficient to guide them. So he asked them, what time did the star appear? So he sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may come and worship him. But as I said, he really didn't want to worship Jesus. You'll find later on that what he really did, he wanted to try to kill him, didn't he? And you remember later on in the story in Matthew chapter 2, he sends out an order that they're going to kill all the little babies 2 years old and younger, because he figured, if I can do that, we'll kill all the little babies 2 years and younger, we'll get that Jesus who these wise men say is born King of the Jews. So that leads us to believe that at least, you see, when the wise men get there to worship Jesus, he could be 2 years old, so that when we see the manger scene like we've done here a lot of times and they do all over the world, you have the wise men, Joseph and Mary and the baby in a manger, and the shepherds, and they're all gathered around, and that's the picture that we have in our minds. And it's all right to think that and all right to look at it that way. It's just not biblical. It's not in the Bible that way. And you can see it here as we read a while ago. Look in verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and the star which they had seen in the east traveled before them and came and stood where the young child, it doesn't say the young baby in a manger, does it? The young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Oh, they were so happy. And when they were come into the house, it doesn't say the manger, doesn't say the cave. It says when they came into the house, which leads us to believe that this may have been months and months after the birth of Christ, after the manger scene in Bethlehem. They came into the house where they saw the young child, doesn't say a baby, the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down. They opened their treasures, those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they had a dream, and God warned them, don't go back and tell Herod, just go some other way. And that's exactly what they did. I see about five different truths in this story, and if you're taking notes, and some of you are, you might want to jot these down. The first thing that I see in this story, that wise men and women honor Jesus as King. They came to worship the King of the Jews. When I worship Him, when I worship Jesus, when you worship Jesus, you're to worship Him as your King. We don't know too much about kings in America today, although in other countries, they have kings. King of all, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Secondly, wise men and wise women enjoy him as the shepherd king, the shepherd Messiah. He is our good shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture, the beloved Messiah, Jesus Christ. The third place, these wise men rejoiced at his coming. Notice there in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, who were these? These were wise men. They were intelligent. They were scientists. They were known in that way. They were counselors. They say that the Magi counseled kings. Kings would come to them for advice on political matters in their kingdom around Babylon and Media Persia and all through that area. They were well known, the wise men. And here come these wise men, and they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Sometimes when we have a worship service where we are really into it in the Spirit, we rejoice in that way, don't we? I'm always wishing that I was more outward in my rejoicing and in my praising God. I mean, in some churches, they always lift their hands. In some churches, they stand during the whole song service. In some churches, you know, they're clapping their hands and praising God. It says these wise men, I suppose they were very, very cautious, reserved at other times. But in this time, they were not reserved. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with, and notice the words here, exceedingly great joy. Oh, my soul. They're just thrilled to death. They worship, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. And they came down into the house, and there was Mary and the young child. And it says they fell down. It doesn't say they stood up and clapped. That's what young people and younger adults and even older adults, if you were of one particular kind of charismatic Christians, you know, you clap and worship and all that sort of thing. Nothing wrong with that in my mind. It doesn't say that they clapped and they stood and they worshiped and they cheered. Give Jesus a cheer. That's what some young people do in those groups, and I've been with them, and I get real excited when they do. But it doesn't say they worship like that. It says they fell down. They fell down. And when we come into the presence of God, I feel like that's more the thing that we probably would do instead of clapping and holding our hands, which is fine. Yet when we come into His presence, we are to fall down, to kneel down before Him as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. So they came and they fell down and they worshiped Him. You'll notice they worshiped Him, look at this, before they gave their gifts. They worshiped before they gave. That's an important thing to notice. I need to worship before I give, and my giving becomes a part of my worship. I've been missing so much in us taking up the offering on Sunday morning. That just doesn't seem right. Y'all have been real good to give your offerings out here in the foyer when you come in, because we're not passing the plate because of COVID-19, and we're afraid we'll pass germs around. We don't pass the offering plate because same reason we don't have the hymn books in the pews and passing out bulletins. We're not doing that these days. We want to be safe. We love one another. We want to protect one another. We're not really selfish in that way. And so we'll do something else to try to protect one another. But I miss it because I love to see us give. Giving is a part of worship. And when we truly worship, we want to give. Well, the wise men did that. They worshiped, they fell down, they worshiped him, and then they opened up their treasures to him. So number one, the wise men honored him as king. Number two, they enjoyed him as their shepherd Messiah. Number three, they rejoiced at his coming. Number four, they worshiped him as Lord. And number five, they gave him their best gifts. We could do a sermon, and many teachers have, one sermon, one lesson on each of the gifts. I saw online one preacher that I listened to a lot. He did one Sunday on the gift of gold. He did the next Sunday on the gift of frankincense. And he did the next Sunday on the gift of myrrh, making a whole lesson out of these gifts. Now, what were they? And some of you probably already know the answer to this. But the gold was something fit for a king. Gold is precious today. It was precious back then as well. Thought about Mary and Joseph. They were poor, as my mother used to say, as Job's turkey. And that expression we use around here, they were poor. But here came these wise men with gold, and suddenly Mary and Joseph became well off. They had gold. We don't know how much gold. It may have been a whole lot. And some have thought that the gold that they were given may have funded their trip down into Egypt. For they took the journey down into Egypt, and it may very well be that they were able to use the gold which was given to Christ in worship to help them take him and escape and save him from Herod and all of that. It may very well be that they could use it for that. So there was the gold, and gold is given to a king. Secondly, frankincense. Frankincense. You could read over in the book of Exodus chapter 30. Let's look at that. Exodus 30, Adam, and verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto you sweet spices, stacked in these sweet spices with pure frankincense. I can say that word. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. Actually, this is what a priest does. So when we think of frankincense, we think of a priest who is offering incense with frankincense in the incense. And they would put the frankincense in the incense and light it, and the smoke of the incense would rise up into the presence of God. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that this incense is the prayer of the saints. And so when we think of frankincense, we think of a priest. And Jesus is not only our king and we give him gold, he is our high priest. And one of my favorite passages in the Bible is over in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where Jesus Christ is seen as our high priest. It's wonderful to say, Brother Dave, I'll be praying for you. But you know, it's even more exciting for me to know that Jesus is praying for me. And you may say, I get excited knowing that my friends pray for me, and that's good. But did you know that Jesus is praying for you? The Bible says that he ascended into heaven, where he is now at the right hand of God the Father. And what is he doing there? Making intercession for us. That's what Jesus is doing. So Jesus is praying for you and for me, for all of us as His children. He's making intercession for us. And then the third gift they gave was the myrrh. Myrrh had a lot of different uses. Myrrh was used. I found that myrrh was used to make you look good, to make you look pretty. And whenever they, over in the book of Esther, you remember, when they were trying to get Esther to really look wonderful and feel wonderful for the king, you remember that in the book of Esther? They took her and they rubbed on her body. I'm trying to think of the word there. It's kind of like being in a spa. They rubbed her body with myrrh for a year, getting her ready to beat the king. Read that over in the book of Esther. And they used the myrrh. It was sometimes used as a pain reliever. And if you had a bad toothache, you would use myrrh as a pain reliever. But usually when we think of myrrh, we think of somebody dead, don't we? You remember in John, I believe it's John chapter 19. Let's look at that scripture. John chapter 19. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, being secretly, because of the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave to him, and there came also, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Go ahead. And there came also Nicodemus. He was the one who came to Jesus by night. And they brought a mixture of myrrh, that's that word, and aloes, about 100-pound weight. And they anointed the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the way Jews did when they buried a dead person. So what we really think is the gold that they gave to Christ recognized that He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was royalty. So that when I give, I need to give it to Him as King. When they gave the frankincense, they gave to the priest, the high priest. And when we give our offerings to the Lord, we give to Him as our priest. And when we take the myrrh, you're already with me on this, aren't you? We're thinking about the cross. We're thinking about the death of Jesus Christ. I don't know. We hear that song. I love that song. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that baby boy? We know Mary knew some things. She didn't know everything about it. But three or so things she knew. The angels had said, this baby is going to be the Savior of the world, and He will save His people from their sins. And the only way He's going to save the people from their sins is through dying for their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Mary knew when the angel said He's going to save His people from their sins, she knew that He was going to die. She also knew from Simeon, you remember Anna and Simeon, who in the temple when they brought the boy there, Jesus there, Simeon said, Mary, this little boy of yours is going to break your heart. His living is going to send a sword into your little heart, Mary. What a terrible thing there. Here she comes to have baby dedication day. That's what it was in Simeon. And Simeon takes the baby and says, oh, this is the most wonderful thing. I see the salvation. But Mary, this little boy that you bring, and he's going to die. He's the Savior of the world. He's got to die. He's born to die. And the third place, not only that, but when they gave the myrrh, she saw and knew that He was born to die. So when we think of Christ, we think of the cross. And we know that he died for our sins. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that Jesus came? Let's give to him our very best. Give to him our all. All to Jesus we need to give to Christ. Let's stand and pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this blessed day and this time of invitation when we are to make decisions. Lord, I pray for all of us, for myself and for all of us here. And Lord, if there's someone here who has never received you into their heart and life, I pray they'll do it today. If there's someone here who wants to come for baptism and let us know about that need, I pray they'll come. If there's someone here who needs to join the church by moving their membership from another place where they're not serving, I pray that they'd respond and come and join us here. Father, I pray for those of us who need to make a deeper commitment to you. We need to rededicate our lives to you and mean it from our heart. Father, I pray that your will might be done in this invitation time. In Jesus' precious name, amen.